what I've learned over the years is not to think that I'm like above any of them. Like I'd have something happen and then I'd overcome it for a while and then it would come back and I'd say, what did I do wrong? Why is this here? I've learned that a lot of, it's just like a continual upgrade of energy, of frequency, all of us. And there will be symptoms and some will come back around and just, it's okay. I always tell people who are having kind of an uncomfortable physical symptom to just trust your intuition, to trust your ability to know that if you really need to seek like medical assistance, for most of you, it'll be obvious. You'll like attract synchronicity. You'll just have a knowing and then act on that knowing. But if you don't have that, then you can rest assured for the most part, using your own discernment, obviously, that it's just a fleeting symptom, which there are many to, for a lot of us anyways, of this energetic upgrade. Okay, I think I saw one here. Someone asked, sorry, Aista, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, dear. Aista, she says, any tips on how to feel grateful for a job that opposed everything I believe? I need to stay here for a little more. Well, I can try. That can be tough. Sometimes there's big contrast in our life, not to show us to learn gratitude, but to say, hey, dude, go do something else, which I think you sort of are feeling. So I would say my intuition with you is you know that. You know there's something else and you want to do that, but you know you got to pay the bills. I get that. So in that situation, I would say just manage your expectations and do your best. I don't expect, and it would be maybe a disservice if you could, in theory, create so much gratitude that you love to go do this job that is not at all in alignment. It conflicts with what you believe. It's going to be draining energetically. So you can, for your own good, you don't allow yourself to get too comfortable and too happy in a situation that is like crumbling and trying to fade away because there's something way better out there. However, eliminating that convergent, obsessive, I hate my life kind of thinking will go a long way. Just common sense with that. It's just kind of do your best. In fact, I challenge you, if you were here for the earlier session, I invite you to the night before you go to work, spend 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes visualizing your workday going the way you want it. And you will see how much of an impact you have on how you experience circumstances, okay? So hopefully that helps. Again, try to be grateful just in any way, you know, just okay, not everyone has a job. You know, there's just little things you can kind of do in your mind on a logical level, but at the same time, don't feel like you're a bad person if you can't be ecstatic about something that's not in alignment, okay? All right, this one's from Helene. Yeah, it's kind of a cool one. Hey, she says, I've been reading about the spiritual practice about facing the fear of death, which is a lot of, for most human beings, many seekers or you know, enlightened people agree that it's like a primordial sort of fundamental fear that creates a lot of our other surface level fears that trip us up in life. So a lot of people from certain traditions like Zen Buddhism and stuff, they will meditate on and try to overcome and accept their mortality so that they can be kind of free of that big fear. How does this practice work, she's saying? Is it a meditation? Well, yeah, there's many ways to go about that eventual end that I just described. I'm trying to think of one I read a little while ago out of one of my favorite books called Fear by Thich Nhat Hanh. He talks about a practice they would do where it's kind of weird, but they would literally like find like a dead carcass, a dead animal, and they would just like meditate on it and watch it kind of like decompose over like the months or weeks, whatever. They'd go and sit and they'd watch it and then until it just became like nothing and re-merged just kind of with the earth. And it helped them connect to that. So that's one way to do it. I don't know if that's gonna be your thing. I can't think of any, you know, specific techniques on that, but I'm sure you could easily find that. And what you want to do is find something that resonates and just practice it. All these, there's so many techniques floating around that people are just find themselves seeking more techniques. It's you take one. You take one meditation about overcoming your fear of death and you practice that every day for a year, there's going to be a glow in your eyes. You're going to have a new expanded aura. You will be different. It's not because of you found the right technique. It's because you found one. You actually did it and did the work. Okay? So that's what I'd recommend is find one that resonates and go for it. But yeah, it could be a meditation. It can be a visualization. What helps me, and this is not for everybody, is psychedelic trips. Psychedelics can take you to what they call ego death, where you really feel like you're dying. It seems that way very much so. It seems like exactly what you would expect the feelings of death to be like, and you're still alive after, and you go through it, and you realize that you're fine. You're safe. You're not limited to your body. And that's sort of the end result. You realize that you are not localized to that body, and therefore your body will die. That's the nature of reality, or at least this one. But you won't die, you won't perish. And if you could experience that, which you can with the way I said, or through meditation, or many other ways, then you can have that kind of like knowing, it sticks with you, that confidence, that awareness, and experience of who you really are. This is for Myrna. This is a big one. I hate to say. It says, I am having big issues with money. I keep hearing I need to change my perspective. The feeling is that I need to believe that what I have is enough or that I can, or I need to focus on being a service first. Very hard to do when you can't pay the bills. I hear you. Yeah. I have found that there's a great deal of growth that comes along with temporarily struggling with money, struggling with not having enough money and being stressed about it. For me, it brought up a lot of deep fears when I was going through this that I never even knew were attached to the idea of like not having enough money. What was I really afraid of? I would find myself wondering, what are you afraid of, dude? Because I was at a point where I was just slipping into debt by thousands per month, no income, feeling like I'm going to be on the streets pretty soon with my whole family at like my age, like 30 something years old. I was like, what is the fear? Because I had this overwhelming fear. Is it that you really feel you're all going to die? No, we have family. We could probably just, if we had to, go stay in their backyard in a tent or something. We weren't going to physically die and perish. And so what is it? Well, it turned out it was like, your ego will be diminished. You'll feel like you should be further along in life. All these sort of like these like other aspects of like money issues that kind of came to the surface, and also all the blocks I had, pursuing money is bad. It's not very spiritual. I should be of service. Well, just focusing on that solely doesn't really pay the bills, and then my kids suffer. And so it gave me an opportunity to kind of examine all of that. Okay, so do that. That's my advice for you. It's not going to be like, go buy this book, you'll be rich after reading it. It's going to be like, why are you in this situation? What lessons are inherent in the situation? How can you learn more about who you are from it? And the faster you can learn all these lessons, the more you will open yourself up to the solutions, the real solution that'll pop into your mind organically. And so long as you follow them up with action, you will be just fine. Another thing I noticed is that as scary as it got for me, I always did have what I need. Not what I wanted, not what I thought I wanted, to have mental and emotional security, but I always had what I needed. And also, this is something I see a lack of. It's, for me, what sort of was my mindset for a while anyway was, I just need to make some money because we're going broke. And I found out how to do it. I aligned ways of making money with what I like to do and what my passion is. And I learned the skills and I applied and I busted my ass and I made it happen, basically. So a lot of times the solution is not going to be found in a book or a meditation. It's going to be like, go going online. Like, how do I make some more money? Here's my skills. What do I do with them? You know, that could just sort of like a, or just taking responsibility for like the earthly matters. Not always easy, but sometimes that's like what has to get done. And that's what we're afraid to do or avoiding, hoping there's some other softer solution. At the same time, with that, with all that, I feel like that was not a very positive solution to your problem. I would balance all of that advice, which I do think needs to be said sometimes, with the other stuff, with believing in yourself, thinking past the now, envisioning where you want to go in life, and trying to trust and find ways to make yourself grateful for what you do have. You're on a phone, you're part of a membership program, so there are things, there are blessings in your life, there's guidance in your life. Focus on the blessings as well as best you can, and then spend some time on trying to figure this out on your own. Okay, you'll do it. You'll be just fine. You'll be a stronger and better and wiser and more impactful person as a result of this. I can promise you that, okay? Helen says, have you ever done a future diary where you write how your day goes but project it to how you want it to be? I haven't done it in that sort of form. That's a neat trick, though. I would say if that idea clicks with you, then you should apply that. That's sort of a different spin on what I was talking about earlier if you missed it. And I would encourage you to do that. But no, I've not done that personally, but I can see how it would work very nicely. Emily says, lately I've discovered that my ego is so present and harsh because my body is so sensitive. Yeah, you'll be more aware of the ego for sure. Speaking of ego death with psychedelics or other ways, shouldn't we try to transcend it instead of destroying it? Or does it give it power still? Well, I would say it all depends on your motive. With me, with psychedelics, I don't use it to kill and destroy my ego. It just sometimes happens to me, and then that it seems to be a beneficial experience. And what Helene was saying, it's just sort of a way of overcoming the fear of death, not so much of like destroying and fighting the ego. So I think it might just be a matter of how you're looking at it. I think when we try to overthink these like strategies for the ego, it's more like mind-based anyways. I just say, based on your questions, try to keep it simple and like live your life and try to just be happy and not be so resistant to anything, even your ego. You're right. If you're resistant to your ego, you try to kill it, you try to fight it, you try to force it to think positively, sometimes it's gonna inflame it more. Yeah, Emily's saying that so many teachings ask for us to kill the ego, so I want to integrate it. Some do. I would say all the people who I would listen to that seem to know what they're talking about, they don't. A lot of people say that's a common, a very old sort of train of thought. But I think it's coming around to where people are realizing the futility of trying to kill the ego. So I would look into like any of the modern contemporary spiritual teachers like Thich Nhat Hanh, Eckhart Tolle out of Shanti, they'll talk all about this. They don't say to kill the ego. They say you just got, you know, they have their own methods. I won't regurgitate them, but I'd look into those sources of maybe a more, again, a contemporary modern spiritual mindset to embody that might be more effective. Okay. All right. Oh, okay, here we go. Christine was curious if I had any experience with a QHHT session, quantum, I'm trying to think of what those letters represent. Quantum healing, hypnosis technique, I suppose. Yes, I have. I have had that done. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's kind of like a regression, a past life regression, an ability to be kind of hypnotized and then dialogue with the therapist from the perspective of your higher self. What can come of that are great healings, great insights, just a lot of really amazing revelations. And yeah, in fact, I had one, I don't know, a few years ago. I woke up one day and I felt strongly guided to seek out a past life regression. I don't know why. I didn't know why. I just thought I had a knowing to do it. And so I did. I looked up past life regressions in my local area and I found this person who happened to be certified with that same technique, trained under Dolores Cannon. So it's like a lot of the things you're seeing now on the internet. So it was that kind of session. And it was amazing, dude. It was so powerful and transformative on all levels. I went in fairly kind of like skeptical. I don't know, I'd never been hypnotized before. I felt like I would have been surprised if they were to do this and get me to where the higher self was just channeling through me. I would have been impressed. And it wasn't like that for me. It was lighter. It was more, they guided me with just my imagination. And it was nothing more than if you just sat on the couch there and just visualized something, but they kind of guided it. And if you just sort of go with it and roll with it, which I did, these visualizations sort of take on a life of their own and become more clear. And then from that, you just get your own impressions. And what was real for me is these visualizations would conjure up intense, really big, intense emotions for me, where I was like, whoa, where you knew something was happening. And I went into five or six different lifetimes, whether they were metaphors in my mind or just actual lifetimes I was peering into, I have no idea. But the emotions that surfaced were real. And the release was even more real. When I left that session, I felt like I was floating through my day. I felt like I was levitated. I felt so light and so healed, and it was a permanent thing. I dealt with these dark, deep phobias I had in that one session, and it was very profound. So yeah, I couldn't recommend it. The fact that there's someone in the area here, seeing how there's kind of a booming of popularity of this type of thing, I would totally, I'd be down. I'd go do it right now, but I don't think there's anybody in my local area. But I loved it. It was awesome. And what it did for me is I realized how easy it was. I realized I don't need that person to do that. And since then, whenever I need to, I will go into my own past lives. Take that for what you will. It might sound a little bit out there, but I can literally take myself through that same process and create the same healing whenever I feel relevant. In fact, I used to teach my one-on-one clients how to do that. And it works it's awesome. And it was totally good, man. Either way, if you feel inspired to do it, then do it. That's all that matters, really. Okay, this one's from Helene. She didn't really ask it officially, but she was saying, like, how do you discern your own emotions from other people's emotions? That's a common question I get, so I thought I would address it. I would say this. I think a lot of people spend too much time concerned about that, frankly. And that either way, if there's an uncomfortable emotion that you're embodying, whether it's yours or theirs, what do? The solution tends to be similar. You are present. You allow. You accept. And you don't identify with it as best you can. Okay. So I see some questions about the session in a moment, but let me just finish this thought and then I'll come back up to you guys, okay? And with all that said, with discernment will come with experience. You'll just become better at knowing. It's hard to tell you what signs to look out for, that their emotions or my emotions. For a while, we're so sensitive, it's just like a big mesh of everything, most likely. And I wouldn't look at it as a task you must complete. Rather, just it's going to be a natural evolution of your consciousness, and the discernment will come as a result. And either way, when you feel uncomfortable emotions, it's best to just be present and not identify with them anyways, okay? So is it better to do a QHHT session in person, or can one do it over Skype and have a good session? I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Do they even do them over Skype? I would think it could be done over Skype, honestly, having had it done myself. It seemed, again, there was nothing too fancy. They didn't hook me up to any machines or anything. It was just like, they had this like, this kind of like hypnotic way of telling you a story so that you're led in a certain direction in your mind. And that could probably be done. Yeah, again, I used to teach people like just sort of my rendition of what I experienced. I would tell people, okay? I'll just tell you right now if you want to know real quick. You just create a visualization. I'll do this real quick. Where you're in your happy place. I would imagine myself on a beach, right? And then you imagine a cloud coming down from the sky and is sitting right next to you. You choose to get on the cloud. It feels good and cozy, and the cloud lifts you up, 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 up. You're in the sky, you're saying goodbye to your happy place. And then you tell, you give your higher self a command and say, take me to a time and a place that is relevant for my spiritual growth, or whatever intention you have. You give it an intention and you trust that cloud's gonna fall down in whatever experience in the cosmos and time that's gonna be relevant for you. And you get down, the cloud descends, you get off the cloud, and you see what you notice. You just walk around, what do you see? Remember, the first thing I saw was, I was like in the woods, kind of. And I had these weird socks on. I didn't have this brilliant imagery. There were just little things that I could pick up on in my foggy imagination. But you just keep going with it. And then from there, they're just asking you a question. What do you see? Oh, I see I have weird socks on. Okay. Are you a man or a woman? Well, I'm a man. I have these real hairy legs, at least I assume. And then you can do that yourself, though. And what do I see? And just let the story unfold, trusting there's a point to it, and usually it'll lead to some kind of emotion. Oftentimes, a feeling of stale, at least for me anyway, at the time. For me, it was a feeling of stale fear energy, like there was something really bad that I wanted to avoid, but I chose to go into, and I'd see what it was, and I'd cry, or I'd feel some emotions of release, and then there'd be this epic release. But with that said, I wouldn't say everyone, that's why I don't teach anymore. I don't know if everyone should do that on their own like that, because, you know, I went into some pretty traumatic lifetimes, honestly, but other people might have had things more severe than that would be nice to have the help. So, but yeah, I think a Skype would be fine, I would think. If you find that, would you mind posting it? Because I'd be down to try it as well if it's online. Oh, cool. Awesome. Nice. I'm going to look into that. Okay, Sarah, I got something from you here. Ah, Sarah, this is a good one. Yeah, good point. You're right. Her partner is a source, a frequent source of those uncomfortable emotions that Helene was talking about having difficulty discerning. So sometimes, like, yeah, you know what's coming from this person, but they're in your life a lot, and they're constantly flooding your own body with uncomfortable emotions. So what do you do? Well, this depends, of course. Sometimes that's because you should leave the situation, right? Straight up, it's not compatible energy. Not always, because the truth is, sometimes Patty's in a mood, my wife, my kids, and I can feel their emotions, and it's very uncomfortable, very toxic, but I love them, and I'm gonna be present with them and sort of put up with that, because they put up with me when I'm in my mood. And what can help me is to not see it as a problem, rather see it as a choice. Like, I could go and live in some kind of cave and be free of anyone's emotions, but that's boring and lonely, so I'm choosing to be in this family dynamic where sometimes their egos flare, as does mine, and I can feel their emotions because I'm sensitive and empathic, but again, I allow it because I do that to them and they allow me to do it, and that's what kind of this, where the love comes in, okay? So you just decide that this person is worthy of that situation. Okay, almost done here. I'll do this last one here. Unless you guys have anything, go ahead and leave now. This is for Billy. Sent me a personal message here. I just wanted to bring it up because it's a good lesson for a lot of people. He found something he was sort of passionate about. It's not important what it was, but it was fitness related, having to do with like human growth hormone or something. And I think my gist of it, there was an opportunity for him to sell it, to sell this online, something he's passionate about and aligned with, and to make a living, doing something he enjoys and feels good about. But he can't stand people selling stuff on Facebook. So he was conflicted. He was conflicted because his heart, his passion was saying to do this, but the belief, something's wrong with selling stuff online, it created like that internal dissonance and then like, what do I do? So usually what I have found to be effective is to trust the passion and take time to examine those beliefs. And I just helped him with that. I said, why do you care about people selling stuff on Facebook? Why does that bug you? He said, it's a big pet peeve. Why? If you have something you believe will help people, wouldn't you want others to be aware of that? You know, there's just many ways to look at these sort of rigid beliefs we have. And if we can just take the time to contemplate them, then a lot of times we'll see that, you know what, I guess I don't firmly subscribe to this particular belief, and I can see it's not really what I actually feel as I analyze it fully, and therefore I can let it go and have more clearance to do what I want to do in life. So this is a lot of times what is involved in the process of following your dreams, your heart, your passion, your etc. is we bump into these beliefs. I want to write a book, but I'm not savvy on a computer, and nowadays everything's on a computer. So there's all that. That'd be something you'd want to examine. So is there any other way? Maybe you could just do it with your voice and then have someone transcribe it. My point is, a lot of times there's so many ways of looking at it, and you can easily sort of pluck out these limiting beliefs, okay? All right, that's it, my friends. I'm getting a little bit tired here. I had a great session with you. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself as well. If you came in here midway through, feel free to replay it and see the first part. There was a real powerful lesson about overcoming procrastination and realizing how quickly you can move through life when you understand it and have these little tricks I gave you that will help you with it, okay? I hope you guys have a phenomenal weekend. It's always fun, okay? God bless you. Peace.